Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Candy, your host here at Mindscape Artist Radio. I am here speaking with a friend of mine, Harold, if he can get in, and we're going to continue something that we wanted to talk about in regards to crumbling realities and living in the truth. So let me see if I can get him to call in. Let me see. Here we go. So the call-in number for anyone else who wants to get in on the conversation is going to be 563-999-3632. And I'm sending him that. Hopefully he'll call in on that one. And with that, with the crumbling realities and living in the truth, this is the time that this is actually happening with the way that okay, Harold, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Harold Timberlake, welcome to the Mindscaping Sanctuary. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. Thank you for allowing me to call in. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this call, and I'm just going to put this number out there on my social media. If you can just give me a second, just so people can just have an opportunity to listen in.
Okay.
Is that okay? Is that okay with you?
That's great. Go ahead and share
yes.
it. I shared some on mine, so share it on yours as well. You can even pick up the link on my page and send it over to your page, too, if you can find it.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Go ahead. But I want to say thank you for allowing me to come into the show today. I'm really excited. Really excited. Matter of fact, I know this is part two. Because I just heard the conversation that just happened, and wow, amazing, absolutely amazing.
Wow, I'm glad that you joined in. We have about 45 minutes on this one, and something tells me I probably should have made it longer, but trust me, this is not going to be our last. So you know that, right? You're in now, so
right,
this is it,
right.
Okay? All right.
Right.
So I want you to, because you called and you said you wanted to talk more about me bringing up crumbling realities and living in the truth. I want to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're in a time that you've never witnessed before. Okay, now everything lines up. I mean, everything lines up. A lot of times, people don't know what they're saying or they're seeing. Because see, there's different ways and different levels of being able to see something. Okay. So, you know, before this year started, you know, people were, you know, whether they were religious or just, you know, I don't know, regular people. You know, it was something big about this 2020, this loop around these numbers with these holes in them, two double numbers that have holes in them, but these loops. That we were going to see, this was supposed to be a major year. I mean, like, you know, this 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens or what is happening is that people, believe it or not, people have come into a time to where, yes, they're going to get more than they've ever seen before in their whole life. And what happens is that now there are people's realities that will literally crumble in their face because what they've always known, they will begin to see differently.
Right.
And now it's forced upon them because they couldn't see it before because they could not get past their own selves. And so now the truth has come to reality. So what am I mean? What am I mean to reality? What's reality and what's an illusion? Well, let's talk about dreams for a second, okay? So dreams are, we call, they're real, but they're somewhat of an illusion because we go into a world that, I mean, it's real to us, but we're only there for a little bit of time. We can't hardly remember what's going on, but yet there's some things that we really remember. And then we kind of come out of it and come back to what we call reality. Well, what's happened is, believe it or not, see, when you're asleep, a lot of times you're dreaming and you don't even know you're dreaming.
Right.
It's just when you're asleep, though. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that for a person that has been asleep, there's been a lot of dreaming. And see, there was something presented to us called the American dream. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that, you know, usually when you hear that term, American dream, I mean, something kind of goes off like, wow, the American dream. But believe it or not, there has been an American dream. And so what's happening now is reality is hit from the illusion or the dream. And now people are going to see things for real that they've never seen before because they're going to see things that they're not going to want to see. And because vision, the 2020 bifocal double, you're going to see double what you could have ever bargained for. And it's literally going to it's literally going to make people come to their truth about their reality. And because of them coming to their truth, then on the other side, their illusion is going to crumble right in front of their face.
Mm-hmm.
And literally the reason why death is happening to the magnitude that it is right now is because people's realities are crumbling right before their face, and they cannot take it.
They can't take it. They can't take it.
That's my introduction. That's my introduction, and I'm happy to be here. That's my opening statement. That's my opening statement. That is my opening statement.
Oh, God, I'm so excited. You're so right. Yes, because what happens is we become attached to what we think is reality. And look, what happens when the plug is pulled on anything?
Oh,
it dies.
Oh,
it
my
dies.
Goodness.
The plug is being pulled, and like you said, those who can't take it, those who don't have their own energy surge, those who are not plugged into the source, but they're plugged instead into the program, they are falling. You are so right about that. Wow.
They are. And this is the thing, and I've got to bring this up, Doctor. Is it okay if I call you Dr. Candy?
That's fine.
Is that all right?
You can call me.
All right, great.
Yes.
All right, Dr. Candy. Problem with that is who's letting them know that? Or how do they know that? Because if somebody could see what's happening and literally get to some of the people and say, hey, I can help you. I can help you, but you're gonna have to deprogram. You're gonna have to unplug, and what you're getting ready to see, you're probably not gonna like it, but listen, I can help you. Dr. Yeah. Jeter, who's doing that? Help me out. There are a whole million of people, billions, I don't know. Dr. Jeter, how are we going? What needs to happen?
Let me use an example. You know, I always got to pull from different stuff. So I'm going to pull from politics. I'm going to pull and say,
okay.
There are politicians, and I think I've said this before, that said, I can help you. I can help you. They'll pull out their agenda, and they'll say, if you support me, I'll do this, I'll do that. And it's exactly what you've been talking to your friends that you need, your loved ones and your spouse and your children. We need this. We need health care. We need college. We need jobs. We need to make more money. And if somebody comes along and says, I can get that for you, immediately, the reasons why they can't do it floods the mind. And the person does not support the candidate because they don't believe that they deserve it, number one, and they don't believe that person can even help them because their mind is still stuck in the past of all of their disappointments and what happened last time and the last time and the last time. And, you know, you can't trust politicians. So now that somebody's finally come, so I've come to the conclusion that everybody's talking about heaven ain't going there. And everybody don't want to be saved. Everybody don't want to be saved. We got to believe that because that's been proven. Everybody does not want to go to heaven. And you know when I say heaven, what I mean.
Right.
So discernment comes on both sides, on our end as well as the end of the actual person. Mm-hmm. We both have to see each other. And we know once the veil has been lifted from our eyes, we know what somebody looks like when the veil is being lifted from their eyes. So you want to, I'm going to speak for myself. I look for people who have the veil lifted but don't quite know where they're going. But if they're completely asleep, I don't bother them because I'm not one for shaking anybody up out of their sleep. Because if the coronavirus hadn't just shaken you out of your sleep, if somebody dying close to you hadn't shaken you up out of your sleep, if all of the things that are going around you, because events only happen to shake us and wake us up to ourselves. That's why they happen, to shake us up and wake us up to ourselves. Some people don't want to be awakened. So after you get those people out of the way, then the people that are ready to be awakened, oh, they come. When we do things like what we're doing now, we do this.
Uh-oh.
This is how we do it. We do what we're doing now. We talk. And when I woke up, I was seeking. I was looking. And I ran across radio shows and podcasts and videos and stuff just like this years ago. Blog Talk Radio was the first time that I ran across a group of people that was speaking my language, and I was listening to them all day and all night. Some of their broadcasts had already been on for like 5 years, and I was listening to old broadcasts because those seeds were planted. So we drop the seeds. We drop them, and we talk, and we live it. And people, I will draw all men unto me. I don't have to go out there because people are looking for it, and the right people are going to be looking. And we're ready. We're ready. Mm-hmm. And we're still evolving, which I love to tell people. I'm still evolving. I'm having a ball doing it. You know, I'm never going to get there. I don't want to, because I love unfolding to myself and running across people who are unfolding, and we just continue to grow in the godness of everything, you know. So this is a perfect opportunity. People's realities are crumbling, Harold, and they're like, what should we do? And the first thing I say is, what do you want to do? Because I want you to be in alignment with the desires of your heart, not my heart. What do you want to do? What are you feeling inside? Oh, well, I feel like, okay, start there. Let's go there. That's a good place to start. Not where I want to start, because I don't know where you are. I just know that you're awake. I don't know. That's how I look at it. What about you?
Well, the one of the beautiful things about being on the journey of consciousness, expanded consciousness, Christ consciousness, your consciousness, my own consciousness, but I was just sitting there listening to your perspective and what you were giving, and I just think it's amazing that we all have our own path. We all have our own way of thought. And my lane is my lane. Yours is yours. I can try to cross over
to
your lane, but that's,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. I can, and you can invite me in, but that's your lane. And all I was sitting there in amazement as you were talking. I was sitting there just listening. And wow. Because, you know, my thoughts, I was able to see you in your lane and what is given to you. You see,
mm-hmm.
because I don't necessarily, my thought, my process is not like yours. And so I sat there in what I would call the beauty of wholeness or holiness, because I observed what came to you from wholeness or holiness. You see, because it came down the pathway of truth, and you gave it on its purest side, and because it had to do with humanity and absolutely getting them to see that the reason why some people actually have to go, because you forgot what your scripture says: let the wheat and the tare grow together, but there's going to be a separation time. Well, if you're on the phone right now, I want you to know that literally you are seeing the scripture fulfilled, but you're just picking out the wrong verses. Trust me.
Mm.
Because if you read your Bibles, but now it's time to put the puzzle pieces together. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're on this call, everybody can't do it. There are real seers, and they know each other, okay?
Yeah.
Now, when you see them and when they talk, you will feel it in your soul.
Yeah.
And then after you receive the revelation and what the seer has let you know that you felt in your soul, after that you're going to be able to not only feel something in your soul, but you'll be able to see with your eye, which confirms the two, the soul and the seed. And you will begin to do both of them with the single eye, and then you will be able to see another seer. And they would have helped you to be able to see and feel something that you've never felt in your entire life. So, Dr. Candy, I was observing you as you could see, and it was beautiful in my sight. Absolutely wonderful. I observed it and I loved it, because you are authentic with being able to see. And it's from your pure side, because you desire to help other people to see and to know and say, hey, this is what's got to happen, guys. Literally. And guess what? If you don't catch up and if you don't wake up, guess what? You will be with them too. Okay?
Yeah.
Because there's coming the separation, because now this is going to be the enlightenment to where people on their pure side, see, they forgot what the Bible said. You remember when it talks about that Jesus is going to come back and there's going to be a war, there's going to be an army? Well, guess what? These are the people. These are the ones that will do the training. This is training.
Yeah.
Because now we will raise up and the enlightenment begin to see what it is. The game is over. The game is getting ready to be over. Okay? So now the game is over. So now we begin to see and to wake people up to the dream that they've been having. It's been a dream.
Wow.
It was a dream. And so now they wake up from the dream and say, oh, I see. It was really a dream. Now reality is hit.
It was a dream.
It was all a dream. That's what Big said.
And
it was all a
your dream.
It was a dream
that was implanted in you. It wasn't even your dream.
Come on.
So when you wake up, you then say, oh, wow, that wasn't even my dream.
You've been acting out
the desires
of
other people.
Yes. Some other people's dream. And that's why even if you want to be very natural with it and on the first level with it, even if you want to say the American dream.
That's it.
That's someone else's dream. Or we say we're all American, but we're not one. We're not one as a country. We're not one in faith. We're not. Why do you guys are so, there's so many people that are nervous about the new world order. No, there has to be a new order. The old order is going out. There has to be new order. Now, that's what we say in the Bible, but we forgot it. It says it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I'm not trying to preach, but I'm just bringing it in the Bible. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ consciousness, he's a new world order, NWO. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, the old order, have passed away. All things have become new in the thinking, in the mind. It does not matter what the government does. It does not matter about money. It doesn't matter. You've got to start to see you. I got to see me. Why am I here? What am I here for? Dr. Candy, jump in there because I'm excited. I'm sorry. I'm excited. Go ahead, jump in there, Dr. Candy.
I'm on that because when you move even further, and then it talks about as workers together, you know, coming together as workers.
Together,
when you talk about seers. You know, when this new thing comes, there's going to be a group of us working together on behalf, ushering people into it as we usher ourselves.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
And I'm just so looking forward to it. And I don't know if you heard, but you know me, I always have the Bible here. I always have my astrological thoughts here. And the last time that we had this same astrological conjunction between Saturn and Pluto, it was World War I. Okay? So when you
I need you to say that again.
Event,
Dr. Candy, can I say something?
Uh-huh.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Please forgive me for that, please. We've got a lot of Christians on that are probably so nervous. I don't know. Maybe they didn't read the Bible in Genesis 1:14. I'm not trying to be funny, but it talked about the signs in the heavens. Job, the oldest book in the Bible, Job 38:31. Can we bind the sweet influences of Orion, or can we?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, it just escaped me. But nevertheless, Job 38:31, Job 38:32, it's talking about the stars and things like that. And I know one of the reasons that they literally tried to get people away, they put it horror scopes, like horror movie. And actually, if you just think about the universal stars. So the reason why I said that, because there are probably some Christians on there that say, oh my gosh, you're talking about the stars. That's the devil.
Yo, you're talking about the loosening of the Orion's belt. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yes, that's right. Well, yes, in Job 38:32, it has to do with the universe is what I'm saying.
Before you got into what you got into,
could you ease the mind of our Christian brothers and sisters that makes them nervous about anything with astrology? And then go on.
Okay, well, I'll ease it. Okay, so Saturn is the planet of building. It's the planet of structures. It's the planet of it has the influence or the personality of building things. And then Pluto is the planet of destroying things that need to be cleaned up, right? These two planets are together, which is called a conjunction. They create an energy over the planet, as above, so within, that work with humans and the external structures together to bring about the necessary changes. And the last time that we had this conjunction was during World War One, and World War One brought about such an upheaval that many great things came up out of there. And the next time Saturn and Pluto were together in a square, it was World War II. And that also created an upheaval. And everybody thought, oh, my God, it's the end of the world. These are the end times. And, hey, who knows about that more than Adventist, because that's what we live for, right? The end of the world. Okay, well, this is the third time where the corona comes in, where we're back to the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, but we're also with our Cancer in the North Node of purpose is about self-soothing. It's about nurturing yourself. It's about coming back home, which is what we talked about before. And everybody is forced to come home and do what? Tend to their homes, their families, their business, the things that they've been running from. Now you got to sit with it. You got to nurture it. You got to be with it, okay? This is an excellent time because Pluto is crumbling the reality of Saturn, and now you got to lick your wounds with the North Node in Cancer so that you can prepare for the new reality of truth that's coming. It's here, okay? Right. And then you go ahead and you take your Bible and you read and you understand the greater picture of how it all comes together. And if you can take the fact that everybody's going to come to the end, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell, if you can switch that ending up a little bit and turn it into a beautiful transformation where the Father comes down into your subconscious and merges with that conscious and brings you, raises you up into the higher self. So much so that you are above all of this. So your father self is meeting with the mother self. You have that conscious blending in with the subconscious, and you're moving into higher places. You have to rise. When we talk about rising above, what do you think that means? Rising above all of this so that you're not directly in the fight. You're above it. You're able to see it. You're able to navigate it. You're able to do what we're doing. You're able to squeeze the goodness out of it, get the butter from the duck, the cream of the crop, you know, and not look at it as doom and gloom, because your perspective is going to be everything. So we have a couple of callers on. I would love for them to come in if they'd like. Does anybody have anything that that you would like to add? Or are you just listening?
Now, if someone
calls in, listening.
Okay. Now, someone called in like I did on your show. Would you be able to know if
I can see them?
They want.
I brought them in.
Oh, you
didn't
can
say anything.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Awesome. 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 Well, no, my goodness, that was extremely profound. I've got to ask you a question. I think it's very relative. Now, the last time that those planets kind of merged up, there was we got World War One. Yeah, World
mm-hmm.
War Two. So
mm-hmm.
it would just seem like if we do the connect the dots, which that's one of the things, and when you begin to, awaken, you're able to then connect dots in your life. So you do it collectively. You can do it individually. That's where you really want to do it individually first, because if you do it with yourself first, then you
yeah.
can see other things a lot better. So, but I'm going to ask you, Dr. Candy, would it be safe to say that we might be about at the brink of another war, World War III?
Hey, we very well could be, even though the wars are going to definitely look different. Now we have
right.
The bio warfares, which the corona is technically considered that among some people, but we definitely going to have a complete turn in economics. It's going to be different. It's going to be different because I've been looking at the economics, and I said it on the last show, all around the world, they're already in a cashless society. We're kind of the last ones because we kind of have that whole, that it's the end when that comes. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's going to be more surveillance. It's going to be more things that are going to be going on in the midst of this. But everything still boils down to our vibration remaining high, staying in the vibration of love and not fear, healing our bodies and making sure. See, this has awakened a lot of people to the healing of their own bodies, which I think is awesome. Everybody is taking care of themselves. Everybody's aware. Everybody's not sleeping on those coughs, because I always have a cough because I have allergies. But I've been on my cough, and I cough now. You know, I'm like, okay, what's really going on? You know, so now that everybody's aware of their bodies, now they're going to wake up and say, okay, there's something to this mind-body-spirit connection. And people
right.
are going to be ready to say, I'm ready to connect the dots. Like you said, connecting the dots is everything, because we've been compartmentalizing everything. We've been going to over here to go to church to meet Jesus over here. Then we leave Jesus over there. Then we come over here to meet the friends. And then we leave the friends and we come over here to meet family. Then we leave the family and we go over here to meet the coworkers. And then we leave the coworkers and then we deal with bills. Then we leave bills and then we deal with our children. It's all connected. You get overwhelmed when you don't realize that it's all connected, because it takes the same principles to master all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that principle is staying connected but not attached. When you stay connected, meaning I care for you, I want you to win. Mm-hmm. If you need anything, I'm there. Not attached means I don't expect anything in return. I know that this world is going to change. It's not going to be the same as it was yesterday. It's going to be different. But when God says I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that is that centerpiece within you that remains the same. So that when things change around you, you're not so attached to that, because you know where your center is. Like the Muslims say, you on your square. You know, I'm on my square. When you're on your square, none of this matters. None of it matters. And it doesn't matter from a revolutionary fight to power place where I used to be. Doesn't matter from that. It's not even that. is so far past that. It's so far past that's the enemy. That's the enemy. We got to fight the enemy. It's past that. When you tell people there is no enemy, they don't even understand that. There is no enemy.
There is no enemy.
There is no enemy.
And if you think
there is an enemy, there's an enemy.
That's right. That's right. And you know, people love the enemy. People love the devil. I told one church one time, I said, well, I'll tell you what, you better thank God for that devil, because if you lose the devil, you're going to lose Jesus, because there's no reason for Jesus no more, because now
right.
you lost your devil. And we got to keep the devil around. We got to keep fear around. We got to keep scary stuff. We got to keep it around, because then what's the reason, what's the point for the Savior?
Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
Because Jesus came to save us from our sin. So came to save us from the devil or hell. So we got to keep the devil. And this is the game. But when people start to say, let me go in my soul and experience who God is in me. Because all these characters, I don't know, maybe this is trying to tell me something. And maybe I couldn't see because I was living in the illusion of a dream, somebody else's dream. But when you wake up from someone else's dream and you start to see your reality and you start to see yourself, and then you look at everybody else, and all of a sudden, something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because you say, wait a minute. Maybe, what? And then you start thinking, why do I think the way that I think? Why am I the way that I am? Then you got to go back and start connecting some dots, and then you're going to come to a clash or crash course of life, crisis. So in the crisis, you get your Christ consciousness or something maybe, because it's a crisis, because you the meltdown, if you will.
Well,
but it's good
think
for
about
to be,
it.
Go ahead.
Think about when I was on the expanding consciousness with Apostle and all of them the other night. And I remember what came to mind when we were talking about the enemy, we were talking about fear. My overcoming was thinking that the world was unfair, because I was always focused on injustice and what wasn't right. This needs to be fixed. That's not right. And we need to get it right. Right. What's right?
Mm-hmm.
But we need to get it right. Whatever it is, we need to get it right. Well, I thought about it a while back, and what got me out of that was I was like, wow, life is fair. It just depends on what side you're on. Because when we see the gazelle running from the lion, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see the gazelle and we say, run, the lion is coming, run, right? And then the lion gets the gazelle and rips it apart, and we're like, oh my God, poor gazelle. All right, switch the context up. Just switch it up. A lion that has lost his pride, that's aging, that's slow and dying, and we look at him and we say, oh, my God, he's dying. He needs something to eat. There's the gazelle over there. Get the gazelle. And if we see that lion get his last meal, we're like, oh, my God, God really looked out for that lion, right? You see how we switched up?
Yeah. We switched up.
Before, the devil was chasing the gazelle, and the Lord wasn't looking out for the gazelle. Then when the lion really needs something, in our mind, we're like, oh, the gazelle now is a blessing to what we thought was the devil. So that's a loop That's a loop that we get caught in. So we switch back and forth, and it keeps us from being it keeps us from being grounded. It keeps us double-minded. Mm. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why is he unstable? Because one minute he's blaming God, the next minute he's blaming the devil, doesn't realize it's all one in the
same.
Now, as you get that, you can relax. Because feel like you're being chased. Now you don't feel like you're being hunted. Now you don't feel like the victim.
Come on.
Right? Because there's nobody after you. There's no such thing as racism. That's a paradigm. There's no such thing as any of the isms. Those are paradigms that were created by men to trick us into fighting amongst ourselves. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion.
So when you buy into it, then you go into the good, the bad. This is good. This is bad. This is good. This is bad. And then you don't even know. You don't even know. But a single-minded third eye, single-minded, mind connected to the heart, to the spirit, to the soul, to the body, all one, coming together, doesn't split up like that, because they know that there's one source, and it's all in how you use it. You have free will. I can take that one source, and I can take your life. Or I can take that same source, and I can give you life. I can take that one source, and I can say, Harold, you ain't never going to be nothing. Or I can take that same source that gave me that allowed me to move my tongue and the breath over my vocal cords to say that, is the same source that gave me the tongue and the breath to move over my vocal cords to say, you are powerful and you are on your way to the greatest success that I've ever seen anybody. It's going to happen so fast, it's going to make your head spin. That's one source. That's not two different sources. I chose to use the one creative force that created all of us to say both of those things. And I have to take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. And the moment we do that, you have the whole world in your hands. You have your children's future in your hands. You speak life or death into your children every day. Do we not?
Yep. Sure do.
Yeah. So that's what we got to learn. I think right now is that no matter what happens, this is where the test of faith comes in.
Yeah.
You don't have nobody to blame.
Yeah. And what people are seeing, even with themselves, is their faith. Whenever, you know, your conversation, okay, so whatever is inside of you is going to come out, okay? So if you're upset, I don't know what's going on, God is mad, we say all this stuff, and, you know, that's your faith is not that strong at all. It's really not, because God's not mad at anyone. We're mad. Matter of fact, there's an energy that we're having that we've sent out, and you're feeling the vibrations of. So the earth is upset. Yes, because we're very upset. We don't. There's a lot of things we just don't know. We don't. And when people don't know a thing, they get frustrated. They guess. We do things contrary to what vibration that we should be flowing in, or how our energy should be. So what happens is we send that stuff out, and so what's happening is you're feeling we're absolutely balancing out. We're balancing out because the world is changing now.
That's right.
And so now you have to vibrate at a higher frequency than you have before. So
how do we do that, Pastor? How do we do that, Pastor?
Well, the first thing, you know, you want to, if two ears and one mouth, there's revelation even in that. Most
yeah.
things on our body are do come in double, but there's one mouth, not two, but one.
Mm-hmm.
So more listening, less talking. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
More listening. Now, more listening to who though? Listen to the preacher, listen to the president, listen to my mom, listen to my husband, listen to my wife, listen to my friend, listen to my professor. The list goes, listen to the psychic, listen to who, listen to you. We on a, no, listening to your inner voice, the spirit that has made connection with your soul, and the two become one. So now you will know the voice, because you will not bring it up what you should do out of your mouth if you do not connect with that still small voice. So learn to listen to yourself.
Thank you.
You have to learn your own tone. You have to learn thyself. You have to learn thy energy, your frequency.
Can you help me?
Because
can you help me like my, trust myself? Help me with that.
Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, so I do, and I hope you don't mind, Dr. Candy, but just real quick, I do. So in divine self-discovery, the second stage, how do I begin to like myself? The first thing that you really want to begin to do is you've got to become intimate with yourself.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you.
You have to become intimate with yourself. What does that mean? It's time to strip. It's time to get naked. It's time to just be all over inside everything about you. You got to go back to yourself. And the word intimate, I love this word. When I first saw it broke up, the whole word broke up. And when I first saw the into me, I see, then that I that's inside of your head, the highest part of you, which is your crown. We think of the crown as, if you want to say Jesus being crowned or the king sitting in the seat of mercy, think of the king in your head. Where would you put someone special in your body? In your head. So you're sitting in the seat of mercy and the crown. And so what happens is you're able to see from the crown back into yourself. And when you start to see and go back into yourself, I'm going to tell you, when it first happens, you're probably going to start to see things you don't like. But it's just think of it as spring cleaning.
Thank
and there's
God.
Probably a lot of people on the phone that has to do some spring cleaning. And, man, just fall in love with self while you're cleaning some hurtful, painful things that you haven't dealt with in your own life because someone else didn't do it. And you waited for this, and you looked for it over here, and you thought it was going to be this, and you thought money would do it, and you
yes.
thought getting married would, but it didn't really work because guess what? You needed you more than anything.
Yeah.
So the first thing yeah. in being intimate with self is just knowing that I've got to get back into loving me enough
yeah.
to visit me.
That's right.
Enough mm-hmm. to deal with me. Enough to spend time with me. And because you can't really be effective. I mean, this conversation is absolutely null and void for us to be talking about, you know, all these things that are coming out of it. Doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside, but it doesn't mean null and void if the person listening, you or I, or the person listening, if we don't visit self. If we don't get back to self, if we don't explore self, if we don't get to know our soul, our existence now, present day, our pre-existence, subconscious, in the conscious but beyond what you could ever think, dream, or imagine, so you're going deeper in the subconscious, that's why your memory, you absolutely never forgot anything. You just don't remember. You're not remembering because of where you are. But when you get back to yourself, oh, things come back. Why? Because you learn how to connect these dots that go all the way back to before you got in your mom's womb, before you got in her stomach. Trust me, that's where the dreams and your subconscious pulls from deep parts of you. And when you begin to get in yourself, you're going to begin to meet deep parts of someone else. Come on. And you can feel it. And you can see it. Dr. Candy, I know I went somewhere else with that, but I don't know if I...
No, that's where I wanted you to go. That's where I wanted you to go because, when you got to get back down, go back down, because we get excited, go back down to loving yourself, right? Okay, now let's tie it in with what's happening right now where we're stuck with ourselves. And we're in the house. And
here we go.
Situations. We're stuck. We can't run from them. We can't hide from them. We got to sit in them, right?
Now, I got to
look at that and say, if I'm not happy being stuck where I am right now, I got to look at my situation and say, how did I create this?
How did I? Because we're co-creators.
Right.
That's right.
Why did I create it?
We have a hand.
If I'm with somebody I don't want to be with, if I'm in a situation that I don't want to be in, if I'm in a job that I can't stand, and now I let all of those opportunities pass while I was burying my head in the sand, while I was being passive aggressive, while I was running from the problem, while I was dealing in my addictions to try and take my mind off of what I wasn't happy with. That's not self-love.
What would you call that, though? If that's not self-love, what would you call that, though? What is that? Because people are facing these situations right now because they have nowhere to run to, so they got to be in places that someone probably don't want to be in, and they're facing their reality, and it's crumbling. What would you call that?
Fear. And fear, number one. Mm. But let me tell you a real strong close second.
Okay.
And I won't, our time is out. People can still call in and hear, but it's not recording. But let me tell you this, and people don't like to hear this. Laziness.
Come on.
Lazy. Oh. Lazy.
Come on.
It was much harder for me to change my life than it was for me to just ignore what was going on and just stay in my situation. It was very, very challenging because I had to change my financial situation. I had to change my marital status. I had to change my residence. I had to change my trajectory of how I was going to make a living, my job, my occupation. I changed friends. I even changed family members. My whole entire existence changed.
Come on.
That took a lot of energy, so much energy.
Come on.
I landed my little self in the hospital trying to switch that reality over, right? A lot of people are afraid of that change. So we put it off, and then whoop, the planets line up, and the coronavirus hits, World War I hits, World War II hits, famine hits, disease hits, all kinds of things hit the outer world that's going to still make you make a decision. So you can either change on your own, or you can be changed through force and loss and make it even more difficult on yourself, right? So I think that fear and just being lazy and not wanting to go through what you got to go through in order to make the transformation.
Wow. So the truth.
But that love, one more, I'm going to let you have it.
I'm sorry.
That love that you that you talked about. Remember that love you talked about?
Yes.
Now, what do we do? What do we do? Go back. Okay, let's do this. Let's you and me.
Okay.
We both know what it feels like to be in love, and the callers listening, we know what it feels like to be in love. When you're in love, do you not get the energy to drive 1,000 miles, to sail the seven seas, to do whatever you have to do to get to the love of your life? Do you not?
I do. Let me tell you something, and yes, I know what that's like. And I'll tell you, I've never felt the love, and I'll just be honest with you. I've been married, divorced, but I've never felt the love that I've had from my children, okay? Now, that is a love that it's indescribable from the one that's made, that comes from you. Now, I need somebody to really get ready to go in their soul with what I'm about to say, because you're going to feel something right here, okay? Because I'm getting ready to show you what love is, okay? Because someone never possibly helped you to ever see what love is, but especially people that have children or grandchildren are getting ready to connect with what I'm about to say. Now, if you don't have children, you're still going to feel it, but you're going to feel it in another way. So what happens is I've never felt the love that I have from the children that came from my loins. Now, although I did not birth them, or they came out of me from a different way, which I didn't birth them, but they still came from me. So when I look at them, it's absolutely me. I want you to catch this. Remember, if you can ever tie natural things to spiritual things, a lot of things are going to make a lot of sense. So they came from me, but I did not birth them per se, because, of course, their mother birthed them. But the love that I have for them, there's nothing that I can imagine that my children would do to where that would make me stop loving them. So I'll do anything because they come from my soul. It's not surface. That's me. So if I love me, I love me. So if I'm loving my children, I see me in my children, and I love me that much more because they came from me. I love them. They love me. I see them. They see me because I see myself. Okay. So there's nothing that separates us from the love a father from his son. There's nothing that separates a mother's love from her daughter, or shouldn't, unless there be some dark areas. But let's just speak in context. There's nothing that a person, a mother, a father won't do for their children, or, you know, that's how it should be. So if that be the case, then how much more does the spirit who made us love us because sees itself in us, but yet we don't see ourselves in it? Because if we ever start to look at yourself in the image, not the natural, but the spirit, and look at the traits, just bottom line core values, forgive people, treat people right, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Look in the mirror. What do you see? Do you do that? Don't judge, because if you do it, you're going to be judged. Whatever you send out is coming back. What do you see? How does your father see you? Or how does the spirit, or how does it, or how does that spirit, that energy see you, and how do you see it? That's what the scripture means when it says, in our own image, let us make man in our own. And so you have to see yourself. And when you start to see yourself and it looks like the spirit that told you to do right and pushed you and made you give your absolute best on every pure side, then you can see God and you will see yourself in God. See, I might have a junior, but that's really me. Our names, you know, even if his name was the same or different, it's really me. So that's how it is with you in the spirit. it's really you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Because it's really love. And you know what happens is in that is love lifts you. It lifts you higher. So you come up from the soul, and he comes down into the soul, and he brings the soul back up. And some of you are looking for Easter, and Easter is right here on the phone, right? Oh, my God. Because you start to come back up to the higher self, and you meet, and you have that affair in your heaven or in your garden, nirvana, whatever you want to say, because now you can see, and it's all love, and you don't judge anymore. Because you get it now.
That's the key. That's the key to getting unstuck. I wanted you to do. You brought that love thing home. Now, so many people can feel like that about somebody else, but when you feel like that about yourself, you take care of your body. You take care of your house. You take care of your clothes. You take care of your mind. You take care of your spirit. You take care of you. And when you take care of you, guess what? You are way more useful to other people. Way more useful. I can get way more mileage out of Harold if Harold is taking care of himself. But if every time I call you, Harold, you sick and you depressed and you down and you letting other people take all your money and take over you and take advantage of you, and you're never taking care of yourself and you're always thinking about yourself last, and I come and say, Harold, and you say, I can't talk right now. I'm sick. I can't talk right now. I got to get this over here. I got to get that. We're useless when we don't love ourselves enough to sail the seven seas, to cross the widest ocean, to climb the highest mountain for our own. What does the Bible say? Work out your own salvation.
Salvation. That's right. You gotta, with fear and trembling. That's right.
Yes.
And
the only way you can do that is through self-love. And that fear in the Bible is awe and respect.
Yes.
Not scared.
That's right.
So I respect myself, and I'm so in awe of, you know what? When your parents had you, they made sacrifices for you. I don't care what kind of experience you had as a child. Just being a parent is a sacrifice. When you don't honor yourself enough to take care of you, somebody else's sacrifice is going down the drain.
That's right.
So we're here through blood. We're here through tears. Somebody travailed to bring us into this world. Somebody went through labor. Somebody pushed us out. Somebody was in pain and popped us out. And we come here, and we not going to do nothing.
Right.
We not going to be nothing. We not going to take care of ourselves. We not going to have enough respect for ourselves to say, hey, my mama went through hell to have me. I'm not going to let you beat me. I'm not going to let you lie to me, cheat, steal. I'm not going to allow you to come in my home that I work hard for and defile it and do the things that, you know, that's just self-respect. Through that, other people, we create space, sacred space, for other people to be able to come in and be healed. Do you hear? Because we have healed ourselves, so our space is healed. So come on in. You can come on in here and you can get some healing. Why? Because healing's already here. So that is just powerful, what you're talking about with the love. It goes so far.
It does. And I want to say this to your point. I don't know how many people are, you know, on the phone right now. They have places of worship, churches or mosques or temples of some sort, or where they go and worship. But what people are really looking for, if you check out the scripture, what people really follow Jesus because he healed. He was able to heal. And so usually people are moved by what they see. So if someone sees or witnesses a healing, then they're going to think or believe that that person has power, right? So this is why it happened that way. Think about this. So if what Dr. Candy just said is actual factual, and I know it to be true, and you absolutely took every single word she said, every single one of them, and you literally begin to implement. You say, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm going to implement what Dr. Candy said because she talked about healing. And or how I could be healed, and now I begin to see myself healed. And if this be the case with me, then I could absolutely help someone else. Think of your places of worship. How would your places of worship really change if they really became centers of healing? Okay, because a lot of times it's a lot of entertainment. Okay, let's just tell you what it is. It's a lot of entertainment. There's good preaching, good song. This is theater. See, you got to start to go back a little bit and see about the church. Okay, you want to learn about how the church, what it means, and things like that. Not just, I mean, the real things that the Bible does not say. Okay, you need to get the Bible. That's great, but you got to do some other, you know, check out some things. Okay, and so you know, church can be like a theater. Okay, where a show takes place. Okay, a show. Okay, and people are entertained, and we love entertainment. We'll pay for entertainment. You pay for it to go have some fun on Friday, and you pay for it to have some fun on Sunday. If that's your tradition, think of what I'm saying, traditions. If that's what you learn how to do. For some people, Sunday was their entertainment because they didn't go to the juke joint. Okay, they didn't do none of that stuff. So that was that's why they did the singings and things like that for people that understand or know anything about that. But what I'm saying is that when you begin to understand what that's all about, and you take the words and you contrast that with what Dr. Candy is talking about, because when you go to any place like that we call church, you want to see healing. You want to see revelation. I mean, you want to hear revelation, but you want to see something happen, because seeing is believing. Well, you're getting ready to see some stuff, okay? And that's why you got to connect with seers, people that can see and that can tell you. There's a reason why there was a woman that said when she met Jesus at the well, and after he told her, you know, about herself, she went back into town and said, come see a man who told me all about my life. And because she saw something, and he made her to know that something was different. See, now, when people come into your life and they make you to know that something is different, and you connect with them on their pure side, you should listen. So, because Dr. believe it or not, if you just heard Dr. Candy, she just gave you a what I would call a she just gave you the key to success. Now, for all my Bible readers, you want to go to Luke 11:52, and what I just said will line up with what Jesus said. Dr. Candy just gave you the key to your kingdom back inside of yourself, and told you how to be healed. And guess what? When someone sees it with you, oh, you don't never have to worry about friends no more. Nope. You know why? Because there's a lot of people you're connected to that want the same thing. Trust me, they do. I know they do. But they don't know how to say it. So that's why you got to stick with people that teach you how to do it and say it all at the same time. And Dr. Candy just laid the whole thing out. I don't know if you caught it. You should have been writing. Trust me. All right, Dr. Candy.
Well, I mean, we're at the end. I mean, we've been at the end, but you know how we do. So I'm looking forward to us picking back up. We're going to do this again, Harold.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So, hey, the flow was good, and I appreciate
man, I enjoyed
you.
It. It was. Thank you. It was a great conversation. And hey, I can't wait to do it again.
Okay. Well, bye, everybody. Oh. Remember, reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. Bye.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.